Let me start by telling you, I'm more excited today. I'm more excited every single month than I just keep the excitement level keeps building. Why? Because I keep getting a vision of exactly where we're going. It has made all the difference in the world.
Podcasting from WealthWave Studios in Johns Creek, Georgia. This is Leadership Now, the official vision and strategy podcast of WealthWave. We're here today on Leadership Now with our special guest and somebody you're in for a real treat to hear from. We're here with Executive Vice Chairman Brian Loiseau from Denver. I'm out here in Denver with Brian and his great team to do an event. And just very excited to have a chance to have you visit with us today. I know a lot of people around the country see your numbers and how incredible your team's doing. And they're always wanting to know, you know, how does he do it? How does he consistently, month in and month out, have these numbers? You win all the trips, you get the promotions, you're hitting the income levels. So I think it'd be good for people to know a little bit about your background. So if you wouldn't mind, I know you're a CPA and you've been in the finance, been in the money business for years, but talk about how you got started and how you found the financial services business.
Excellent. Hey, Tom, first and foremost, thank you so much for coming out here to Denver. You know, we just had a fantastic SMD and Up meeting. 60 of us were just on every single word you talked about. And then tomorrow is going to be a wonderful Super Saturday. I just can't tell you how thankful we are that you were able to come out and be with us for the weekend. So thank you so much. My background, Tom, as you said, I have been a practicing CPA. And in fact, I still am a licensed CPA. For the last 25 years, the first 13 years, I was with one of the big eight companies that we called it back then. Now it's Big Four. And I actually spent 13 years there. And my first day at WFG was actually back on September 1st of 2000. So I just celebrated my 17th year anniversary here, and it's just been a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Well, it's sure been our company's lucky day to have someone like you. But when you think about just the economics involved, you know, I mean, as someone who comes from an accounting background myself, I'm pretty familiar with what a CPA's opportunity is at one of the Big Four. Talk for a second about how that shapes your mindset. You know, when you know about what you make as a new accountant, you know your goal is to become a partner one day and what that might look like. But talk about how when you saw the financial industry, what the chances of doing that faster and bigger meant to you here.
Sure. Well, first and foremost, I enjoyed what I did. Yeah. And, I felt like I was making a difference for 11 years, 12 years. Then I got to the point where it was time to make partner. And I started kind of looking forward 10 years forward. And I really started questioning, kind of went to, metaphorically speaking, to the top of the mountain to say, hey, is this really what I want to do for the next 20 years? Do I want to wake up and be 55 or 60 years of age and look back over a career and say, I was an accountant at one company for all these years? So I more or less went on a journey. This is back in late 1999, early 2000. And I did quite a bit of due diligence on different companies. And I just knew that at one point, my experience was I worked with a lot of entrepreneurs. So I worked with a number of IPOs, taking companies public. And I also did a lot of process improvement work. So think about that. For 13 years, I worked with businesses on how to make them the businesses more successful, how to make it they're more efficient and more effective. And I also had this incredible chance, opportunity to work with people that went through an IPO. So Dish Network would be one of them. I don't know if I probably shouldn't drop too many names, but four or five different IPOs that I had worked on either directly or tangentially. And I absolutely loved that. And so my experience working with companies that to try to make them more profitable, I knew how business worked. And I also had a chance to work with these incredible thinkers, people that actually came up with an idea in their garage, and they were able to take that idea public and became, you know, literally billionaires. And taking that the business know-how together with that entrepreneurial spirit, I just knew I wanted to get in the game. I felt like I was not in the game being a CPA. I wanted to own my own business. I wanted to think like the person that went through the IPO. I wanted to have my own thing. I wanted to explore and just see how good I was. And honestly, Tom, one of the things that I thought of, one of my biggest fears, people always ask me, when you left Anderson, what was What were you afraid of? And I said, honestly, one of the biggest things I really was very curious about is just how good could I be if I really went for it somewhere. And I felt like I really wasn't in the game. I was helping other people achieve their goals and achieve their dreams and do their IPOs and make their companies more profitable. But at some point, I sat back and really was curious, how good could I be if I just went for it and did my own thing? So that's what really excited me.
Well, that makes all the difference in the world, is having something you see that's bigger like that. But I know over the years, you've worked with a lot of people that have the same background, that were CPAs. Some of them had tax practices, some had audit practices, some worked for big companies, some worked for, had their own.
Right.
What do you say to somebody who's a CPA to make them want to expand their practice to include what we do?
Well, a great question. First of all, I think what they do is of great value. And if it's a mortgage officer, if it's a CPA, if it's a, you know, somebody that does health insurance or property and casualty, they do things that are of great value to their clients. They are caring for their clients, so I really applaud them for that. But the question that I really want them to think about is, could you be of greater value? Could you be of greater service to them? I mean, put it this way. Think about the last time you sat down with your CPA that did your tax return. I mean, it's very valuable. They obviously do a very good job. In your case, I'm sure it's probably a very complex return, can only imagine.
Right, right.
But I bet you don't lose sleep over that return. I bet you don't, you've never woken up in the dead of night saying, oh my gosh, hopefully the numbers work well in the 1040 or whatnot.
Right, right.
But I know for a fact that most people wake up and think, my goodness, am I going to have enough money to retire? How am I going to educate my kids? What if I die too early? What if I live too long? What about my parents needing long-term care? What if I need long-term care? How in the heck can I be of service in those things that really matter, those real stay awake issues? And I find that obviously, again, you know, when you buy a house, you need the mortgage broker, but I don't want that to be just a transaction. I want that person to really be thinking, how can I be of great service to them in all these different aspects? So I, you ask a very basic question. I want those people to start exploring, what if I could be of greater service to them? What if I could be of greater value to every client? What if I could make additional revenue for every client that I serve? What if I could actually be the most central part in that client's life? And when I start talking along those lines, the majority of CPAs and enrolled agents or tax preparers or mortgage brokers, I can kind of see a little smile on their face, because I think truly, Tom, the majority of people want to know that they're being of great service to people. And so I appeal to them along those lines.
Well, you know, I know a few years ago, the AICPA did a thing called the Vision Project, where they got hundreds of CPAs from all over, and they said, what's the future of our business? And I know it's not easy for somebody who's a CPA and got piles of paper in their office, and they're just got a lot of labor-intensive things, and you're really the only one that can do it because you're the one.
Right.
How do you see beyond that? You know, and so they came back and they said, well, here's the thing. The one of the most trusted relationships in somebody's life ever is with their CPA.
Correct.
And so here you got this great trusted relationship, and the other ones that are financial related, maybe it's somebody who does your insurance or your investments or some other financial product, not so much.
Right.
And what they, if they had their choice, what they'd really like to have is you, as the CPA, be those things to them.
Right.
So they got one relationship of trust, and you could do all these things, and then you don't have to ever worry about some other CPA who does it when you didn't, taking your client from
Absolutely.
It. Absolutely. And so talk about that for a second, because I think it's such a critical thing. Not only is it a chance to do more for them, which makes all the difference, it's not just a chance to make more revenue, which it is, and in many times, much more revenue than they could ever make just being a CPA. But beyond that, the difference that you can make, I mean, if you look at somebody's 1040, it's sometimes like a treasure map.
Right.
It tells them everything is.
Absolutely.
And if you see something that's not just right, and you don't make a professional recommendation and say, hey, we got this too, you're saying you ought to have somebody talk to you about that. You're leaving that to chance. You didn't do what was really in the client's best interest. So talk about that for a second.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that from two different angles. First of all, you can act or you can react. And what I mean by that is just take a look at what's going on right now in Washington. If I think that there have been proposals out there that your tax return could be on a postcard.
Right.
Well, what happens? In fact, I even heard a couple of centers, I won't mention any names, saying that they're probably going to try to put H&R Block out of business, the people that do tax returns, because they want to simplify it and it's going to be on tax return. Well, what happens then? So either you can act or you can react. And I think there's going to be some reactionary forces here. I think the industry could be disrupted. And we already know that a lot of tax returns are outsourced to India and whatnot. There's a lot of different ways to get that return done. But that's the practical matter. But let's talk a little bit about more visionary. I just think that at the end of the day, if I can get people focused on that porch swing of life, you know, I'm 70 years of age, I'm looking back over my career, what have I done? And I just can't stress this enough, that the people that I talk to, it might take a couple of meetings for them, but for the most part, they want to look back over their career and think that they were of great value to people. So I think practically speaking, what happens if your tax return is on the back of a postcard? Now, I think that a lot of people think that could be far flung right now. That's not that might not happen. But what if it does? But even if we keep the status quo, would you like to be of greater value and make more revenue per client? And when I ask that question, I believe that every person should think straight and talk straight. Four words that I've really tried to live throughout my entire career. Think straight, talk straight. Would you like to make more money per client or just be of greater value per client, or maybe both? When I ask that question, I get yes answers. Right. I try to ask questions that result in a yes. Would you like to be healthier? Would you like to be better looking? Would you like to have more money? Those are all yes answers. And so I try not to be objectionable, and I just try to hit them straight on with a value proposition that you can be of greater value, greater career satisfaction. And by the way, when the word starts traveling that you are more than just a tax preparing CPA, I have found that the people that I associate with tend to pick up more clients, and their tax practices will grow organically as well.
Well, that makes all the difference in the world. And of course, they're all trying to do that, but they think the way to do it is more traditional, where maybe you get a referral from somebody you do it for. And in the back of your mind, if you have a lot of returns, that's a lot of hours, a lot of time. And so, you know, the first few months of the year are maybe not as fun as you'd like to have them. And April 15th, you feel like you're going to have a stroke.
Right.
And they love it and hate it at the same time. Mm-hmm. They love what they do for people, and they love that they make money doing it. But the stress of it and the amount of hours that you got to put in as you get up to April 15th.
Right.
And then every time there's another extension deadline or whatever the thing is, the corporate returns and all those different things. And so when you talk to somebody who's a CPA and you get them past that, what would you say to a CPA should be their reasonable expectation of how fast they could get off to a start here? What would that look like?
Well, I think it can be very fast. And just to echo what you're saying, before I talk about how fast it can go, think about you come from a tax background, correct?
Right.
How long do you have to keep a tax return for audit? Is it 3 years, 7 years?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Just think about that. Everything you've done this really busy year, call it, let's say it's back in the year 2010, all that hard work, you're actually telling somebody they should keep it, and then they can destroy it and shred it 10 years or 7 years later or 3 years later.
Right.
What is that? You have to, and it's not a legacy. What I like to tell people is, suppose everything you built actually stays there, and suppose it actually makes a difference in the future. But I think it can happen very quickly. Listen, Tom, I was a very linear thinker. I was used to trading my hours of the day. I was completely 100% billable time. I traded hours for a paycheck, billable hours every single year. If I didn't bill X, you'd basically be terminated. And so I came into this as a very linear thinker. Do hourly work and you're staying on and you have to bill your clients. It was, I'm not going to tell you it was easy turning into more of a multidimensional thinker. It's hard.
It's not natural.
It's not natural, especially for a CPA that's used to for billable hours.
Right.
So instead of thinking linearly, I needed to learn how to think exponentially. And here's the brilliance of this company. I surrounded myself in the year 2000 with people that only thought exponentially. They only thought about how every single hour they worked could be expanded into sales teams and sales organizations and more client acquisition. And that was so exciting to me. The things that excite most people might not might not have excited me quite as much. What excited me was a different way of thinking. And that's what this required. A linear thinker needs to go through a process to learn how to become an exponential thinker. And I promise you that as soon as I started getting that, that's when I started having success. When I started here September 1st of 2000, I made senior marketing director in 4 months, under 4 months, you know, brought the licensed sales force over, did some business and whatnot. And that was wonderful. And I can share with you some of the words I use and some of the people that I brought on board, certainly at an appropriate time. But that was all part of my process to break out of that linear thinker. And then, by the way, most employees have that.
They do, for sure.
Yeah. And so that was a struggle I had to overcome. It was a mindset I had to overcome, but I couldn't have found a better place. I feel like I'm the luckiest person in the world because I surrounded myself with, frankly, people like you. I remember meeting you within the first few months. I don't know if you remember meeting me.
I do.
Within the first couple of months, I went back to Atlanta and I met so many people, and your questions of me were totally different than any question I'd ever heard before. You challenged my thinking. You challenged the idea of trading time for money or time for anything other than exponential growth. And that was all very, very, very important that first couple of years.
Now, as you started building your business and you've become wildly successful many more times than you have probably ever thought you would, and we all feel that way, but as you started building this, how did you determine how much time went to building your clients and how much time went to building your team? And what do you feel like has been your secret to having this kind of team? You've got one of the most dynamic teams in the company, very consistent, top earning, top producing, really serving clients. You know, you guys know the difference between a customer to client.
Right.
A customer is somebody you sell something to.
Right.
A client is somebody under your protection.
Right.
You've built a large base of people that are building clients. Just talk about that.
Well, yeah, thank you for saying that. Our team obviously thinks the world of you too. And I can't express my appreciation for you jumping on a plane and coming out here and being with our senior leaders today. But I believe, listen, I want quality clients, and the way to get quality clients, and by the way, that has nothing to do with net worth. A quality client is somebody that wants to change where they are, and they've got a big vision. They're willing to maybe sacrifice the current their current comfort for something in the future. A quality client for me can be a $50 a month Roth IRA and a small term policy. It's somebody that wants to change where they're at, and they have a big vision for the future. That's how I consider a quality client. It has nothing to do with the revenue, it has nothing to do with how much money they have. It has everything to do with the fact that they want to be helped and they want to be shepherded to success. But what I find, in order to find those clients, I have determined over my career, over 17 years, that the easiest way to find those types of clients are to find people who are like-minded as I am. This is a business. This isn't a hobby. This is what I do. This is all I do. I've never done anything else in the last 17 years. My professional resume, Tom, says 13 years at the Big Four firm, and that was until September 1st of 2000 to here. It's my only two things are my only two resume items are these two. And so I believe if I want to have a quality business, I better attract, retain, motivate, lead a quality team. And a quality team are people that also want to go to the exact same place. They have the exact same vision. They want to be business success should come to them fairly quickly, but it can only be as a byproduct of being of great service to their clients. It's just a score. We're keeping a score. Points or cash flow or rings or all that kind of those kinds of things can only be a byproduct of the number of families that you really serve, the number of families you shepherd. And so I found, you commented about the team here today, and they're a wonderful group of people. We are very like-minded. We're okay doing a Roth IRA and a term policy because if it's the right thing to do, suitable, fiduciarily responsible, that's what we're going to do day in and day out. So
you've got the entire spectrum. You've got high net worth clients. You've got people that are in middle America. You got people that are kind of starting over. You've got people that have, I met a guy today who's in the middle of an encore career.
Yes.
He was something else his whole life. Mm-hmm. And he got to the point where he doesn't want to retire, maybe for money reasons or whatever.
Right.
And he's ready to go tee it up again, but he's not young.
Right.
And of course you got some millennials. I met some of them today. And talk about, but just, You know, what advice would you give somebody from any age group? What do you think is the one thing you did that made all the difference, that gave you the chance to be where you are today?
That is a great question. It's a central question. It's what everybody listening to this needs to know. You got to know what the standards of performance are every single week. The person that brought me into this business was very clear with me. Brian, if you want to get to that six-figure income your very first year, you must do X. And that X was a certain number of prospects and a certain number of clients each and every week. So for me, it was my secret to success, and it's not so secret because I shout it from the mountaintops. Every single week, I must have three new people who are interested in viewing my business, either through a WealthWave video or coming by my office and seeing our business presentation meeting. That is how you get organic growth. And the other three is I must personally put ink on three new client transactions every single week. That's what I did day one. That's what I still try to do to this day. And you and I have talked about this before. If I expect my people to do that, I better be doing it myself. It's just that simple. So three and three. I always call three and three. Three guests that are going to take a look at my business,
right?
And three brand new clients with ink on transaction paperwork.
Now, you mentioned WealthWave and the way we're doing this with kind of this combination. You know, there's nobody more high touch on earth than CPAs.
Right.
It's all manual. You're meet with people. You're looking things up. You're filling out yourself. But we've added a high tech element to it where we've got streaming videos. We've got websites and things. Talk about how you see that for the future.
I see that as the great equalizer here. You talked about my person who has the Encore career, who's in his 60s and wants to really tee this thing up. Well, if there's a finite amount of time, 10 years, 15 years, how actually are you going to get any kind of market share if you kept doing the exact same thing? So I think WealthWave is the great equalizer. I think every single one of us is able to hire somebody who might be higher tech than we are.
Right.
Even though I'm high touch, I'm going to tell you, I'm not high tech. I'm looking at your podcast here. I'm very impressed. I don't know why any of this works, but you know something? I know I can be equal with you because I can go and get a couple of millennials that love Apple and everything,
yes,
and I can learn from them. So, I guess I'm just honestly in kind of a constant state of amazement, Tom, because what I don't know, I can hire. And if I want to get into millennial group, I can go out and hire some millennials, and I can turn them on professionally because of some of the tools and techniques and technology we have. And if I want to get into a different type of any kind of different sort of group here in Denver, if I want to get in the Vietnamese community, if I want to get in the Chinese or the Russian, we have a huge Russian population. I simply can go out like I do, as I have two ethnic Russians in the sales organization right now that communicate with their people in their native tongue. That makes all the difference in the world. So I don't know how other people do it. Frankly, I look at other firms. I don't know how they get into those communities because they're not going. A Russian in Denver is not going to listen. Who's more comfortable speaking Russian is not going to listen to me. I don't have the trust. I don't have the background. I don't speak their language, but I do hear through my people.
You know, sometimes when you're a kid and you got to decide what you want to be when you grow up, you know, you picked accounting as a major, I'm sure, in college. And then
you,
next thing you know, you work for a firm and you're a CPA and you blink and 13 years goes by.
Right.
And then you make a change. You decide, I'm going to switch over and I'm going to become this.
Mm-hmm.
What difference has that decision made to your family and your lifestyle and just your whole life in general?
Yeah, that's... Let me start by telling you, I'm more excited today. I'm more excited every single month than I just keep the excitement level keeps building. Why? Because I keep getting a vision of exactly where we're going. It has made all the difference in the world. You know, I have three young kids now, and you know, it's amazing. We have this really interesting. I was noticing on some of the videos, family videos. We go to Hawaii every year, as you know, WFG takes us, and I think I've been there 16 times. And at first, it was just Mary and I going. Alone before kids, and then every single year, just seeing those kids. My 10-year-old has been to Hawaii 10 times,
right?
And just seeing how those kids continue to grow. My 7-year-old's been there 7 years. My 4-year-old has been there 4 times, and just seeing how that family grows and what their expectations are. And I feel like when we go to trips like that Our kids are on other kids of entrepreneurs, and the language is different, and it's meant everything. I'm a worker. I'm a grinder. I work really hard, but guess what? I do it on my terms. And if there's a soccer game or a baseball game or a golf game that my kids are participating in, I can rearrange my schedule. And that, I just think to me, it's made all the difference in the world, because I can truly place first things first.
So you can control your time.
Right.
One thing that other people and other businesses sell,
right,
my time.
Right.
And unfortunately, CPAs, quite often they're doing it for themselves, but
right,
but they get dominated, their time gets dominated because of the clock ticking on April 15th or whatever the deadline is. And that makes all the difference in the world when you can just say, hey, I'm going to go do this with my family, or I'm going to go on this trip, or I'm going to do this. And I noticed that your team has a tremendous respect for you. And I think that comes from you helping to mentor and coach them. Talk about the relationship you think that a leader has to have and mentoring and coaching your team through all the stages of this.
Well, first things, I just think that everybody, what I needed, I'll just tell you what I needed. I needed to follow somebody who was actually in the trenches doing what they asked me to do. I think that's essential. So hopefully my guys are looking at me, all the men and women who are senior marketing directors and soon to be and EMDs and whatnot, they're looking at me knowing that I'm doing exactly what I'm asking them to do. I think that's really important. And to me, a leader should be in the front and leading the charge and actually putting up the most numbers and out in front. So what I try to do, and you know, hopefully I'm okay at this, I try to lead by example. And I think action speaks so much louder than words. All I have to do is say, guys, here's what I did. Anyone interested in having this type of success, follow me. If not, you can go do your own thing. And most people will say, yeah, that looks pretty good. I want to do exactly what you're doing.
Right, right. Well, Brian, I've got to tell you something. You are the standard by which successful leaders in our company are measured, and I'm really proud
Thank
of what
you,
you've
Tom.
Accomplished. I know it's been a lot of hard work. You've got a great team. They're right behind you every step of the way, but you're out in front every step of the way, and that makes all the difference. So I sure appreciate your time today.
Appreciate you asking
me.
We're
going to do this again really soon. I know everybody's going to want to hear more. I think that if somebody was a CPA on any level with any kind of version of that, they would want to hear this and maybe be able to get their mind moving in that direction,
sure,
and start thinking about maybe imagining possibilities, which is easy to do when you hear somebody like you, such a great example. So this has been Leadership Now with our special guest, Executive Vice Chairman Brian Loiseau. We're out here in Denver, Colorado on location. And so look forward to being with you guys again very soon.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you so much, Tom.
Thanks for listening to Leadership Now, the official podcast of WealthWave. If you like our show and you want to know more, check out wealthwave.com/podcast, or you can leave us a review on iTunes. Join us each week as we talk about the topics you'll need to help you grow as an entrepreneur and succeed in the financial business with WealthWave.